This is episode number 535 with tennis champion and Olympic medalist Maria Sharapova. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Thomas Edison said, if we did the things we are capable of, we would astound ourselves. Welcome, everyone, to another incredible interview with the one and only Maria Sharapova. And if you don't know who she is a world-class tennis player. She's competed on the tour since 2001. She's been ranked number one in the world in singles by the WTA on five separate occasions for a total of 21 weeks. She is one of 10 women and the only Russian to hold the career Grand Slam. She is also an Olympic medalist in women's singles at the 2012 Summer Olympics in London. And I'm excited to have Maria on. I've had her on before, but I'm bringing her back on because she's got a brand new book that is inspiring and moving and powerful and all about overcoming the odds and what she's had to overcome in order to get to where she's at. It wasn't always easy. She didn't have all this money and all these opportunities. She really earned it through so many trials that she faced in her early years and continues to face right now. And in this episode, we talk about how Maria avoided burnout while playing the same sport for so many years. Also, why she would never want her child to play tennis, even though she loves it, why focus is more important than hard work in sports, the difference between being good enough and what it takes to be great, also what Maria is focused on in the future, and so much more. She just had a major comeback at the U.S. Open, beating the number two player in the world in the first round and continued on many other rounds, and was just so inspiring to watch her come back, fight, and compete at such a high level again. So I'm so excited to see what's next for Maria, but I really believe you're going to get so much value from this episode. And as always, the full show notes and video interview is back at lewishouse.com/535. If you're listening to this on your podcast app right now, take a screenshot, tag me and at Maria Sharapova on your Instagram story. Let us know you're watching it. Let us know you're listening. We want to make sure to connect with you, and I'm sure Maria would love to see that as well. Before we dive in, I want to give a shout out to the review of the week. This is from Robert M., who said, the School of Greatness podcast is informative, useful, and really helped me grasp a better perspective on life, especially as a 19-year-old. I look forward to more content from you, Lewis. Please keep inspiring. So Robert M., thank you to the young guns out there who are listening to the School of Greatness. And thanks so much for leaving a review. You are the review of the week. And if you want a chance to get shouted out on the podcast, then head over to your podcast app and just leave us a review over on the School of Greatness podcast.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoy this one. I'm super inspired by everything that Maria has created, not only in her sport, in her craft, but also in her business endeavors and what she's doing to continue to learn while she is performing at such a high level in her sport. So without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only Maria Sharapova. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got my good friend Maria Sharapova in the house. Good to see you.
Back
and excited to talk about your new book. I was telling you before, I was nervous to read this because I really wanted it to be good for you. Because I know you spent a lot of time and energy on this, but I was like, I have no clue if Maria can even write because she barely went to school.
You know I can handle criticism. I know. And you know I want your honest opinion. So
yeah,
that's what I want.
And I stayed up late until 2:30 in the morning to make sure I completed. I have the early manuscript here, which was... I was so impressed and so much more fascinated by you as my friend to know everything you've gone through to get to where you're at. It's just incredible the amount of lack of security that you had, like financially, emotionally, without your mom being there growing up, unstable environment your entire childhood. You lived in a dorm for 3, 4, 5 years, I believe, in a tennis academy for many years, which I didn't realize you were like a boarding student. And I lived in a dorm for five years.
It was for a year, but it was in and out. And
Got it. Yeah. But you were like 10.
I did feel like I was boarding for a long time.
Right. But you were young. You were like 10.
I was
10,
very young.
9,
yeah.
10, 11 or something.
At
like
one
that.
Point, they didn't allow me to board because I was too young.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. And I know what that's like to be a boarding student. I mean, your dad was, I think, a few miles away from you. But I was,
sorry,
I was yeah, I was 7 hours away from my parents when I went to a boarding school when I was 13. So I just learned more about you that I was fascinated by, about how there's so many moments that you share growing up that if they didn't happen the way they happened, you wouldn't have been a Grand Slam champion. You wouldn't have been number one in the world. You wouldn't be doing all the things you're doing. And so it's just fascinating to me that...
It's very easy to forget once if you don't happen to have it on paper or ever write it down or ever think about it. It's so easy to forget what happened so many years ago. So... this wasn't a way for me just going through my life journal, which I did, and I actually included.
Your diary. You keep showing your diary. It's amazing.
I go back to my diary, and I include passages from my diary in the book, which was which is very interesting to go back in time and to learn a lot about yourself as you're speaking to your family and, and my example, the coaches that were in my life and how those shape, you know, how they really shape me and how they, just because of them, I am where I am today.
Yeah. It's amazing. And to be, you know, your mom wasn't around most of your childhood because she was in Russia when you guys came here when you were six. Is that right? Six?
Yeah.
It's just crazy how everything happened. And it's so cool. I'm just so excited for you. Now
Thank
that I
you.
Know everything, I'm like
Thank
just
you.
Even more happy for you. And I just, I appreciate the level of commitment you had to one thing, which is like, how do I get to be the best in the world at something?
Well, I was just really happy to share it. I think because until a couple of years ago, I don't think I was available emotionally to share my story. And I don't think you ever as an individual every day think of the depth of your upbringing. And I think every individual is different and has a different coming of age and success story. And we don't go too deep into it. We don't think it's that special. And, as I did interviews throughout my career and people would ask about me moving to America and they would just want to know all these little details. And little by little, I was like, is there something cool about this story? Is it something different? And as I got older, I realized how special it really was and how inspiring it could be for many other people, girls and boys and parents as well, because a lot of this book is about the journey of my father and and his amazing little girl, and how I had to, as a little girl, put so much trust in the people that were around me, and how my father was able to go on this journey with my best interests, mm-hmm. not just his best interests and not a family or financial best interest. It's also an athlete story and to success, which can go into many wrong directions. And there's so many tough stories out there of the past. So I was just so fortunate to be able to share a story that that had a really amazing connection with myself and my father and mom.
I mean, your father is like literally like the dad of the century after reading this, because he took such a leap of faith to say, I'm really leaving my wife, my homeland, like my friends. I don't know English. And I'm going off the trust of this one tennis player that like watched you, I guess, when you were six or something, or five.
Martina Navratilova.
And was like, you need to send her away or take her to like America.
Well, he could either look like he's the smartest man or the stupidest man.
Yeah, exactly.
So
see ya.
Right. Like, it depends how you look at it.
It's crazy. And just how like he got, like he enrolled the person giving the visa. Like how he just like razzle and dazzle the person and be like, give me a visa. I need to go. I'm taking my like child to go.
Yes.
Just like every step of the way, like his conviction for his vision for you and I guess both of you, what was possible. It just amazes me, his level of commitment.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that he speaks about in the book is how sometimes if you think too much about a particular situation, or if you really think what is the best move, you won't ever make the right move, because sometimes the best decision is not always the smartest one in that particular moment.
That's true.
And so when he was speaking about that as I was working on this book, that was, it was extraordinary to hear that, because we always want to make the right decisions and we tend to overthink a lot of the things in our future and our vision. And
you talk about feeling like you made a lot of these things yourself just because you didn't know any better. And you were like, I would just practice hours and hours because I didn't know any better. And I felt like...
Exactly. And it was really the only thing I knew. And and I came from, I spent many years in a country where you didn't have so many opportunities or opportunities to be part of other sports. So it was, if you did one thing, if it was dance or ballet or hockey in Russia... for me, it was tennis. I couldn't do all three. I just financially, just time-wise.
Resources, everything.
Yeah, there was just not, you didn't have that opportunity, which in America, when we arrived, you had so much opportunity to do that. And in ways, that's pretty amazing that you can play twice a week tennis and twice a week football and lacrosse. And
swimming and everything.
Right, and then figure out at one point what you want to do. But sometimes that's difficult because you have your social groups in each little sport and, what will you have to take away? Do you really want to commit to one thing? So it's a very tricky situation.
How have you stayed? I mean, you've been playing for what, 25 years almost?
I'm done counting.
You've been playing for a while and you're just like, at least the way you write about it, it's like you're just 8, 9, 10 hours a day of just hitting a ball just as hard as you can, just like right over, trying to hit a can over the net.
Right.
Barely over, just hitting it deep and like in the corners. Just like, how do you do this without getting burnt out? You know, because I did have all these, I was playing 4 sports a season or a year or whatever. And if I got burnt out from one sport, I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to play one of these other three that I like. How do you still play at a high level? I'm just like, I'm just going to be, and I got to watch you for the first time in the last 3 weeks, which was so awesome for me to see.
And that was just
you.
An exhibition.
I know. I want to see you at like the US Open or something, like in a big stage.
Right.
But just your mindset, I was just so impressed with how, I don't know, you've just come so far and how you continue to stay committed to that mindset. Is how do you stay there after this long?
Well, I think one of the things that having the hardships of the childhood that I had that I speak about in the book is this sense of repetition, but repetition led to discipline. And if it was about the repetition of hitting hundreds of balls, it focuses your mind on doing this one thing repetitively. And ultimately you get this just really good feeling about the stroke that you're hitting, or if it's a forehand or a backhand, you feel really confident and good. It gives you a self-esteem and an awareness. And you feel that at a young age. That's not something that just... No matter how young you are, you know that when something feels natural and good and that you improved on it, and you see maybe, someone gives you a compliment, or your father or your coach, and you feel it as well, it brings you up, it makes you happy. And so of course, as a young kid, I wanted that feeling. I wanted my father to be happy about my practice. I wanted my coach to be happy. I wanted a little chocolate bar at the end. And I knew that if I did...
vanilla ice cream with sprinkles.
Right, exactly. I want it all. And so I definitely looked for that. I wanted that. And I don't know if that was a sense of, oh, I wanted that attention or people to notice me that I was doing well. But through that process, you're learning how to be disciplined through that repetition and that feeling. And so, and that for me off the court as well, I speak a lot about my mother's influence and how she didn't have much to do with tennis and she didn't come from a sports background at all. So for her, it was more the educational aspect. And I talk about how she made me memorize passages and poems in Russian literature that I had no idea what they even meant. I was so young for any of it all, but her idea was that if I was challenging myself to do something that I didn't necessarily love and I kept doing it, it was building some sort of toughness in my mind that would help me in other areas in my life. And for me, that became sort of that mental aspect in tennis.
Mm. Was there ever a part in tennis where you didn't love for like a period of time where you're just like, I don't love this at all? And you thought about like, why am I doing this?
There are a lot of things that come with the sport that you don't necessarily choose and you don't necessarily know what road that might take you to or how you will feel about it. There are definitely moments where, you know, after tough, like there's so many tough matches where I come home and I just tell my mom, like, I would never want to put my children through this ever. I don't want them to feel
the pain, the sadness.
I don't
the
want
defeat.
Them to feel this. Yes. In front of thousands of people going down. But then I wake up the next day and I get up and I go to the practice court and I do it again. And I look forward to getting back on that court and playing the same opponent and coming out the one that's victorious. And wow. And then I'm like, well, actually, I would love this experience for my child because it teaches you so much. And it does. I mean, there's so many hardships and, you know, you have to grow up on your own a lot and you could become very isolated. And the sport itself kind of, you know, it made me, I wouldn't even say by choice, but it isolated me from the very beginning because if I wanted to keep a strong mind and a clear path, I had to, even though I could have chosen other directions, which maybe wouldn't have continued my success. But, and again, those are all, I think, choices that you make.
Another choice that you made that I was just like, I don't know if I could do this, is you literally couldn't really be friends with anyone that you're playing tennis with. Like any other girls that you're playing against, you're not like buddy-buddy. You're not like talking and chatting up after the match or before the match. That was kind of like from when you were like 6 to 9 until now, you really say, you know, at least you write in the book that you're like, you really can't have friends because then it might make you a little weaker, a little softer because you'll feel bad for them or for.
Right.
And that's got to be hard too. You're just like isolating yourself to never really have a community in the sport you're playing.
Right.
You know, in football, we may like hate each other when we're playing like our rivals, but then it's like you respect each other and you're like buddy, you know, afterwards.
Well, there's definitely a difference between respecting each other and going into a locker room and knowing that every single one of them in that room works so hard and is so extremely disciplined to get that credential, to get their name in the draw, to be there. And I feel that and I understand that. And so that respect is always there for me. But I think...
but you're not like, let's go have dinner and have cocktails afterwards and relax.
No, just because I've always felt it's been my workplace. And a big part of that, I think, happened when I did win a Grand Slam at a young age. And it immediately, as I said, it isolates you because you become not just someone that someone plays in a quarterfinal or a final of a tournament, but you become the match that people want to win.
Right.
And it becomes so much more. And they not only want to beat you, but they want to have everything that you have, all the things that came with winning a Grand Slam. And and I didn't like that idea. And it's not what I really chose. It's not what I knew. And so I immediately realized that I want that for myself. I worked for it and I'm going to do everything I can for others not to have it. And that's the competitor in me.
Yeah. Were you the youngest female to win a Grand Slam or no?
I believe at that age, no, I think I was the third youngest to win Wimbledon.
Yeah. And you almost didn't even get to the finals. Weren't you down like 3 sets or something? And then in the semis?
Well, against Lindsay Davenport, I was
She was like crushing you, right?
Completely.
And then there was like a rain delay or something, and you're like...
I talk about this match vividly because it's still a huge... I was so excited as a teenager. I was so happy. I was in the semifinals of Wimbledon. It was already a big deal. And just say I described that match quite well because I was really on an... I was already on the plane home.
Yeah, you were in the locker room during the break.
My father just had this intervention with me, and he just had this...
He started laughing, right?
Yeah, he started laughing in my face and said, "You got this. You're going to win this." And I was like... So I came from laughing to just being... Wow, maybe I have a chance.
And she was just dominating.
She was dominating.
She couldn't hit anything return.
No,
she was
had
crushing your serve.
Zero chance.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
I was able to turn it around.
How do you think you were able to do that, though? Was it really more your just consistency of just hitting the ball back, or was it her just breaking down because she was like, I don't know what to do in this situation, or what was that?
Well, there was a little bit of a rain delay. Yeah. So I think when you're in a position as a player that's up and ahead and all of a sudden has the opportunity to think that you have a chance to be in the Wimbledon final and it's so close and it seems so easy, that's hard. It's mentally, it's tough, definitely.
Have you ever talked to her about this?
No.
Really?
No.
She probably... thinks about it all the time.
She's had so many incredible moments in her career. Yeah. So you usually tend to think of those rather than the tough ones.
What do you think is the moment growing up that was, if one of them was a different situation, obviously like so many things could have happened where you couldn't be here now, but what was like the one thing that almost ruined it all? Where you were like, God, we got out of that situation, or because thank goodness someone rescued us on the side of the street at this time.
I think if you're
so many of those moments.
Once you read the book, I think there's so many that I could say and name. And I just think overall, there's so many paths that we could have taken that were wrong. Or maybe just because when I was young, so many of the decisions that were made were out of my hands.
Yeah.
And I really loved sharing like that trust aspect in this book because I had to give a lot of trust as a young girl to my parents. Mm-hmm. And that's really special as I look back on that, because as you're growing up and you become a teenager, you kind of, you know, you want to, I wouldn't say separate from your family, but you want that distance from your family. And in my, you know, in my youth, in my situation, also maybe because I was an only child, and because they sacrificed so much, and I think I felt that and I knew that I just felt like what they were doing for me was the right thing, and I had to give them that trust in order to make decisions for my life that would bring me to where I would be today.
Crazy.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, "Oh yeah," or "I can't believe it," or "Booyah." But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too. In person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
In your mind, what do you think it takes for anyone to be number one in the world at whatever they do? What's it take for that to happen?
A lot of things. So many things have to come together. There's hard work, but I believe in, especially in today's age, everyone works hard.
Everyone. But you have a different level of hard work. You have like this obsessive hard work ethic. It's like unbelievable.
I wouldn't say it's the words hard work. I think it's the focus. I think I just know personally what focus is able to do for me when I work hard and when I focus on a task or and even when I do play like the exhibitions that you watch me play at World Team Tennis. And those are just small examples, but like I, for instance, I don't know how to differentiate an exhibition to a real match. Like I just know one way, like that's the way that I play, and I'm focused, and I'm pumping my fists, and I'm excited after a good point, and I'm emotional, and you know, I think exhibitions are also a way to show your personality and be, you know, funny and fun and enjoy the crowd. And sometimes when I go to that direction, I don't exactly know what to
do.
So exactly, I was like, whoa, I'm so out of my element. So I know that, you know, I know when someone pays me to go on a court, they want to see the Maria that they see when I play Wimbledon. And that's what I want to deliver. And so that's how I treat everything that I do. It's like if I practice and I'm training, or if I have a meeting and I'm with people that I've met for the first time, like that, you know, that first meeting, that first impression takes you to so many directions that's very important.
And what about the mindsets? We talk about this focused hard work, but what about the mindset? Because I think a lot of people say they want to be the best at something, or, you know, I hear a lot of people say, I want to be the best or number one or whatever, or the top. What do they have to think about mentally in order to, because it takes decades sometimes to get there.
Yeah.
How do you prepare mentally to try to even strive to be the best at something, even for a moment in time? And then how do you try to stay there once you're there?
Oh, don't we all want to know that? I think I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I definitely see this, everyone seems to have this aspect of rushing, like rushing to get to the next step and rushing to make a certain amount of money. And when I think of goals, I don't necessarily think of specifics. I just think of more feelings of how I would feel when I get to that. What is my success and how does that feel like? Instead of saying, okay, I want to win this amount of titles, and I want to win this amount of Grand Slams, or I want to earn this amount of money. I think more of the feeling. How am I going to feel when I win match point? I visualize it. I embrace that feeling and I carry it with me.
Like you visualize it all the time or in the moment?
I think moments. And I think it always comes when you least expect it. Sometimes you can be on a run. Sometimes those long plane rides where, you know, it's sunset and it's just you and you've been traveling and you're going home and you have no one around you, just yourself on the flight and just hundreds of strangers next to you. And you have this moment where you start thinking of why you're doing this. Why are you lonely? Why are you in this position? And you think of what you've already done to get there and where you would like to see yourself go. So those moments always come at a different. I don't sit down and I think, okay, right now I'm going to visualize the feeling that I might have when I win a tournament or but I think it's important to when you say things, or you know, when a friend of mine says something negative and I was like, don't put that in the universe, don't put that out there. I do believe in that. There's some sense of truth in that, because it also comes with, then you carry it with that attitude. You know, when someone says something negative, you usually see their attitude change and
shows up in your body and your energy.
And I mean I for sure do that as well, and I have my moments, but the faster you acknowledge it and realize it, the faster you can move on.
Yeah. So you went through a big, you know, this unfortunate experience in the last couple of years. You got silver at the Olympics in 2012. Then you had the surgery after that or before that? When was your surgery? Before that.
Before that, right.
But then you came back and you won a French Open in 2015. Is that right?
I won in 2012 and then 14.
14. And then in 2000, I'm trying to get the dates, 16 is when the Australian Open thing, right? Where you got, you know, suspension. Hundreds of athletes got, you know, caught for using something that they announced, but didn't really tell anyone that they announced this new regulation. You were the one that was made an example of out of everyone, unfortunately. It had an incredible, you know, effect on you, I think, over the last year.
I was the only
one
being suspended for it.
Yeah, so that you were made an example, unfortunately.
Those are your words, not
mine. Yeah. which was also, it sounds like, was, you know, this a very challenging time for you. I met you right before it happened, I think, like the month before or something. And I was just felt horrible for you because I was like, this has got to be the worst feeling. Because you were writing about in this how you were like, you know, maybe this is my last year and I'm going to go out on a hurrah, like try to win another Grand Slam and call it a day and then retire like on top. And then this happened where you were suspended for 15 months. Then I guess they took back the claim or something.
I was suspended for two years and then that was reduced to 15 months.
Yeah. And during that time, you learned a ton. So I've known you like this whole time this happened. Right. You've grown a lot. You got to go to Harvard to practice, to learn from a couple of great teachers. You got to travel. You got to explore. You got to date. You got to do all these different things and have fun, probably for the first time.
Really did.
And relax.
Yeah.
And recover, which is kind of cool. Now I'm curious. And now you just came back a few months ago and you've been competing. You got a couple minor injuries. So you're like,
had a little bit of a setback.
Yeah, setback. What are you playing for now? And what's the vision moving forward? Because again, you've achieved everything pretty much that you can achieve. I mean, that's just more championships, but you won every big tournament, right?
Yes. And I think that's one of the questions that I asked myself as I was kind of coming back into the routine of playing tournaments again in April. And as I left for the trip, I had been home for a few months at a time, which was unusual and so different than ever in my life. Yeah. And as I was leaving, I noticed this feeling that I was just so ready to go. Like there was no sense of I'm leaving something behind or one of the greatest things was being able to, I met so many new friends and, you know, been able to really form great friendships and partnerships during that time and really be there for people that I haven't been able to be there for. But as I was leaving, I had this sense of just contentness happiness that I formed these bonds. I formed a little bit of a normal life and I didn't feel like I was leaving it. I just felt like I was going to do something that I was meant to be doing. And that was my work. And I knew that I had that when I would be coming back home. And so that, I think that was a really great feeling to have because I think it's always scary to just go away from it. And because I've done it for so many years, those first few days away from home are tough, you know, different food, you have different people, hotels, just hotel room. I just, everything is cold and opening a suitcase. It's just, I don't know. It's so sterile. Like, is that the right word?
Sterile.
Like sterile. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just, it doesn't feel very friendly.
But you felt good leaving.
But I felt like I wanted it. Mm. Like I really, really wanted it. And I didn't have any regrets of leaving. Yeah. And so I knew that that was a really good sign.
That's good. Because if you didn't want it, then it'd be hard to play.
It'd be really hard. It'd be really hard. And I didn't, you know, there's so many little things of a routine that you do every day that are fun at first, that are exciting, but when you do it hundreds of times, such as pre-practice warm-ups or the shoulder rub-downs, and when you do it dozens and dozens of times, it gets old.
There's very old. It's very old. Boring.
Right. But I loved every part of it in the weeks that followed when I left. I just loved the feeling of getting in an official transportation car. Usually I want to feel anonymous. I always say I love being in a taxi in New York City because everyone, there's hundreds of taxis. No one is looking in the window to see who's in a taxi. They just know it's another passenger in a car. When we're sitting in an official transportation car with the logo of the tournament and kind of the announcement, someone knows in another car that there's a tennis player in the car. So they're all looking at you and they're trying to see who it is. So I love that anonymous feeling. And I loved getting in a car where people knew that here's an athlete. She's going to the courts and she's playing in this tournament at this venue. And I wanted that feeling. And so I knew I felt like all were good signs because I think I was a little scared of that. Cause it can, it's a long process.
So there's much work.
Yeah. And so without really understanding what I wanted to come from this, I knew that I had the desire and I knew I was looking forward to those things. And I knew as long as I had that, I will have the motivation to train as hard as I can to be a winner at the end of a certain match.
Mm. And so what's the goal now then? You're back, you're playing.
I think every stage I'll carry a different goal in my mind.
But you're not like, I'm going to play for this many more seasons or I'm trying to win a Grand Slam. Do you have that vision?
No,
or
I never did. I never had that vision, but a few years ago. And
you just wanted to win every time you on the step on the
I
court.
I did, but I was also starting to think about the end. And that's something that I think I share in the book that was a big surprise for a lot of the people that are just starting to read it and that that were close in my life that I didn't really share with because I wasn't so sure, but it was always on my mind was like this, when would I end and how would I end it? And so it played as part of this, do I even want to come back? Do I really want this? But there's nothing that stopped me from it.
Yeah.
So I don't look at the future and say, this is my goal and this is my timeline. I think everyone has a different timeline. Mm-hmm. And based on just even if you look at my whole life, I've had so many surprises and so many uncertainties. And so I don't want to say that this will be the time to end it because I don't want to play it out like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't know.
I think I also don't want to know.
Yeah. I think you'll know when you like, know, right?
Yeah, I think
you'll
so.
Feel
and
it.
Right.
You'll be like, I don't want to play anymore. I'm good.
Maybe. But I certainly have the feeling that I'll be playing much longer than I thought that I would be a few years ago.
Ooh, all right. Definitely. I like it. Some foreshadowing. All right. I like it. Yeah. I want to see you in a Grand Slam. I want to think the US Open or something. I think it'd be awesome. Well, it sounds like Wimbledon's your favorite place to play based on this.
Right.
And so
special.
If you get back there, I would love to go there and watch. So what is you have this team now that's supporting you and they can be like, oh, here's an athlete who's done it all. Is she going to be around? Because you probably don't tell them what you're going to do. They don't know, right?
I don't share like long-term goals or visions. I mean, I have a contract with each one of them and they know that based on the timeline that I obviously look forward to playing those years and fulfilling our contracts. But of course, you never know with the body and health and motivation and all those things. But
how do you keep them inspired and kind of like this vision of moving forward if they're, you know, you're unclear of where you're going to go.
Yeah. I think by them showing me and sticking with me through this tough time, I think it's every day that I'm around them. I think of it that I'm doing it for them and not just myself. Mm-hmm. And that I don't think I ever had that feeling. Even as a young girl, I never thought that I was doing it for my family or to
really.
Yeah. Or maybe because my family never made me feel like I had to. I don't know.
Did you always love playing then when you were younger?
Yeah, but I never gave it. I never thought that, okay, if I play well, in a sense, this will cover, you know, my grandparents or my parents or they can travel around the world can be financially stable. Like that was never thought about it. But I think after going through the last couple of years, when you see because you're, as you know, I mean, I'm with my team so often and all the time and much more than I am with my family. And what they do for you and just on a daily basis, just the smallest things are not things that are written in a contract. But you have to realize how important that is. And it really, I mean, it's so crucial. It's so crucial to have a great team that has your back, that understands and understands you. And I know that's such a broad thing to say, like understands who you are, but when you spend, it does take time and takes a lot of trust. And I'm someone that, you know, that likes to build the trust, and I don't go into a partnership saying I immediately trust you and believe you and think that sense of loyalty is so important to me. So I definitely build on that with people, and I challenge people. I think that's also important. And you want people to challenge me.
You challenge your team a lot?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely question their even exercises, things, drills, plans, schedule. I question it all the time.
Wow.
I know, which is kind
of
like,
easy to work
makes
with.
Me.
Come on.
Ooh. Is that what they call a control freak?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I think it's good. I think the act of asking questions is so important.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think it opens up.
That's what I love doing.
Well, clearly. Yeah. I think it opens up different avenues, different plans. And it makes, like, I know that before my team comes up with a plan or a practice that they've thought about it, because they know that I'm going to be thinking, why are we doing this today? And what is the idea behind it? What's the goal?
They've got the best answers.
So they've got the answers before I'm able to give them question.
That's good. Yeah. What advice would you give to a parent who's got a young child that they put into a sport or a musical instrument or singing or something? They put them into an experience with a talent. What advice would you give them just in general about if you want
to cultivate? I wish my father was here to help with that.
But I mean, it's like, okay, you want your kids to succeed.
Yeah.
And knowing what you knew growing up and kind of where you're at now on the latter end of it.
Yeah.
I guess what would you tell parents that they should focus on when cultivating the champion's mind for children?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest gifts that my father gave me, and something that I speak a lot about, is this idea of he was my father and the guidance, but he never knew everything. So I think as a parent, it's very easy to believe that we are, not that I'm a parent at all, but to have the sense of they know everything and they know the answers and they know what's right for their child. And what my father was able to do for me was realize that he wasn't a tennis coach and he wasn't the best at that, but he would find the right people that could help me. And so that's, I don't know if that's kind of letting your ego step aside and being like, there are other people that I will oversee everything, but there are other people that are much more knowledgeable in my field than I am. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough thing to do. And also having realistic goals and being very real. Like, my father and my mother as well were very well aware that in any day we could move back to Russia, and having that realistic approach that could happen without thinking about it negatively, I think really helped them, because it gave them the security that even if they did go back to their previous life back home, then that was okay. I think I saw a lot of families while I was boarding at the academy and training at the academy that had this financial opportunity of having trying to fulfill unrealistic dreams.
They weren't good enough.
And they might have been good enough, but they weren't great enough. And I think that's a huge...
To make the pro level and elite level, yeah.
It's a huge difference.
You can maybe get a college scholarship somewhere, but...
Which is that but can't take that for granted.
But you're paying more for 10 years to get the scholarship.
And tennis is not a cheap sport. No. I mean, no sport is.
Yeah.
So I think having just being real about about your goals in the most sensible way.
Do you feel like your father did a good job of switching off from parent to manager, coach? Like, where you felt like he was still your father as opposed to just focusing on one thing all the time?
Well, one of the biggest things that he did was that, I mean, after I won 3 Grand Slams, and you would think that he'd want to be, you know, overseeing that or being my coach, that person that sits in my box during every match that I continue to play for the rest of my career. He said, it was a very mutual decision that now you can do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look at the tour now, and I see many examples of parents continuing their life on the tour with children. And it's a very, that separation is very difficult, because you spend your life you know, from a very young age being together, and the parents always want to be by their side and kind of taking, I wouldn't say almost all the credit, but a lot of it does go to the parents.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I think just selfishly, I also wanted to prove that I could do it on my own.
Sure.
I think that was the competitor in me, and my father fully understood that and accepted that, and he stepped back and let me, you know, get my own coach and do it on my own after already accomplishing what I had.
It's amazing. Now, I remember you writing about, there was one Grand Slam, I think it was, you won and he wasn't there, and you were like looking
up. The first one. Yeah. Like the French Open.
You were looking up in the stands, you didn't see him. And
yes.
So he just didn't come to the events anymore?
No. He stopped.
Just watched on TV or what?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
He didn't even just come and sit as a spectator like at the top?
I don't think there's like a, there's no happy medium.
You can't do it.
I don't know. I think if my father would come, I would definitely want him to be sitting next to my coach.
Right,
you know, he's my father. But I think that time
has.
So
you just said you shouldn't come anymore. He was like, I'm not going to come anymore.
Yeah.
He hasn't been to a match since?
Not, maybe one or two.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He watches them all on TV though.
Oh, he does.
And he speaks to my coach and I
all the time.
Every other day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And after every match, and he's still very much a big part of my career.
Of course. But he doesn't come. Is it weird that he's not there?
It was weird in the beginning, and I think it was weird because I definitely, it just felt like I really wanted to prove that I could do it on my own, because so much of our lives was me and him and trying to accomplish this together. And I think I just wanted, I loved that responsibility of proving that I could do it on my own.
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You did it.
Yeah. With different,
we got the great team.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's when I say on my own, it's you're without on him. Your own, right? You're on your own when you're out competing, but you know, that little group that's behind you every day, that's they're so very much part of your victory. So, and I've been able to win with all the previous three Grand Slams. I've had different coaches. So it's been an interesting journey. And as I grow up, I also learn a lot more about what I would want or what I needed before is not what I need now. And so making those adjustments, and also having a great connection. Maybe when I was younger, it wasn't as important for me, but really just because they become family. And as you're older, you, I don't know, we speak a lot about different aspects of life and conversation, and from the plane to dinners and things beyond tennis, which I love to do because we're so enclosed in the small world of sport, and I love to grow. And so having people that are smart and that can challenge my questions and answers, that have a good brain on their shoulders is interesting.
Yeah. What's the things you still feel like you need to learn?
Either in the sport or I don't think we always know what we need to learn. I think that's part of it.
Is there anything that's holding you back then in your life or in any area?
I mean, I think injuries is a big part of an athlete's career, as you know, as you very well know. And I think when you go through a few in your career, that hesitation and that uncertainty, and you become a little less comfortable and confident and
less fearless.
Yeah, and you think of it sometimes a little bit more. You like, think of it more than you should.
Yeah.
And so always I try to snap out of it because that's such a, you know, tennis is so physical and it's so quick and there's so many movements, and to feel healthy is just completely healthy is a complete gift.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's a complete
gift. Throughout a tour,
gift.
There's no way.
No
if you're
chance.
17 again, maybe,
right? Maybe. So I think, but there are so many things. I mean, you have the food and you have diet and you have discipline.
Sleep.
And the way that, exactly, and the way that I believe we work out now compared to years ago is very different and more refined.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality is more important than quantity.
Yeah.
So.
'Cause it just sounded like you should just to be beating yourself up constantly, just like constantly.
I think it was
like,
more about hours and repetition.
Yeah, like,
and I don't necessarily think
that
was the best way. It was just the only way that was accessible.
Yeah, it was
in
the
that
tools
time.
You guys had.
Yeah. And I just.
Like one of your coaches here that you would come to LA, he would just hit the same ball over
same
and over
ball,
for
just,
hours.
Yeah, there was just this huge basket of balls. And
I don't know how you do it. Stay like excited and passionate and like motivated.
Well, he was a nut. So
yeah.
He brought, he made it fun and, I look back at it now, it was fun, but in the moment it was brutal.
But you just have to have such a big reason why you're doing this every single day. I mean, you're talking about getting up at 5 a.m. and going to the courts and then going to training and then film and then back at the courts like all day. It's just, you have to really have a big reason why you're doing it, especially as a kid. Otherwise, just like, I want to go play with some other, you know, friends in the playground and not work.
Yeah. Well, I want to know what it, I'm curious by what it would feel like to be better at what I do than today. So I'm curiously challenging myself to find out what that would feel like.
To be better than you already are right now?
Yeah. To be better and to be, which I think that leads to better performances and quality performances. And I think that's the feeling and drive that still gets me up in the morning.
Do you ever feel like maybe doing less would make you better?
Less of?
Less reps, less like lifting, less?
I don't think I do. I actually don't think that I do more than others do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way that I train is maybe more quality focused and more intense. And I if I bring that intensity a certain amount of time, I don't think that I could bring that intensity for 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, but there are a lot of other variables that go into it. And it's sort of the patience of carrying yourself through the day, going through the different phases of the gym and the warm up to the tennis court, to the cool down, to the stretching, to specific injury exercises, to the rehab on the massage table, and, you know, finishing your day up at 7:30, 8 p.m. and doing it all over again from 8:30 in the next morning. So kind of having that patience is crucial.
What do you think you're going to do after tennis? Years and years from now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's an uncertainty. I mean, I think
besides being a successful businesswoman and building brands and.
I envision a family. Absolutely. I mean, I have such a great bond with my family that I definitely envision that for myself.
Yeah.
But that takes time. And with what I do now, it's very, you know, it's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a, you know, a goal of mine, if that can be a goal or.
Sure.
But yeah, business is a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, being excited about seeing something grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, being in a competitive atmosphere, I think that's what business brings to me as well, even now.
Yeah.
Because that's ultimately what tennis brings to me today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the driving force that nothing else can really replicate.
Yeah, you love to win.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I beat you in bowling, though.
I know. You have that one victory that I'm never going to stop hearing.
We should play some ping pong. I can beat you at that, baby.
I'm sure you can probably beat me at every other sport.
It's not tennis.
Not
we played
not
once.
Tennis.
I want to play
definitely
again.
Not tennis.
I want to play like a real. Nah, I won't even be able to hit a ball back from you. But I want to play like some volleying or something. And see if I can try to hit something back.
All right.
Make sure you guys get this book. It's called Unstoppable: My Life So Far by Maria Sharapova. It's an incredible story of overcoming unbelievable challenges and adversity to making your dreams come true. It's a great story about trusting yourself, trusting your family, having discernment in certain situations, knowing when to back off from things that are maybe too good to be true.
Right.
And just how do you turn the lessons you learn from here and how you turn all these setbacks into comebacks to get stronger every time is just so inspiring. It makes me so happy to know you.
Thank you.
And to be friends with you and to know like how you've gotten through it all. We did a previous interview where I asked a lot of other questions. We'll link it up below. You guys can learn more about kind of the rituals and routines, the more of the mindset, and all this other stuff. We'll have that linked up. But I'm curious, a couple final questions. What's the thing you're most proud of over the last 2 years since kind of all this has happened with the setbacks and
right.
now the comeback? What are you most proud of in your life?
Right. Well, proud that I still have this incredible motivation to keep going and that I really still want to keep doing it. I think that's, no one can really give that to you, and no one, no matter how much money, no matter how many people you have around you, family, great words, positive energy, if you don't want it yourself, it will be really hard to live through it. And so I'm definitely very proud that I still have that feeling. And I think it's, you know, it has a lot to do with the mentality that I held through those couple of years, through the way that I handled it and got out in front of it, through the tone of voice that I had in my mind, the belief that I had in myself, and all those things really come into play. And mm-hmm. And yeah, and that I still want more. I think that's something to be proud of.
Yeah.
And yeah, probably can think of a few other things, but I don't speak yeah. about myself.
No, you handled it with such grace, like, which was again so impressive for me. It's just like the level of grace and humility that you have throughout the challenges.
Yeah, I love those two words. Those are great words.
Yeah, as opposed to like defensiveness and anger and
yeah, I think those fighting, things only get you so far.
Yeah,
you know, maybe they can get you immediate, I don't know,
attention or something. Whatever. Yeah,
but.
I just appreciate you so much.
Thank
and I'm so
you.
Grateful to know you and to be
Thank
a part
you.
Of, you know, this comeback and seeing everything. And this book is really cool. So make sure you guys get it. It's called Unstoppable. You can go to mariasharapova.com, at Maria Sharapova, everywhere on social media. She's really active on Instagram and Twitter. So make sure to let her know what you thought about the interview. Get her book. Take a photo of the book at the store. Tag her on Instagram, Twitter,
yes,
that you
please.
Got the book. And
you've been through that all before with your book, so you
I
know
have.
All the things.
Get ready.
That
it's about to be an adventure. You're about to go through a whole other like journey.
Well, I just got like a first couple of book reviews and I was like, wait, people have read it before? And
right.
I was like, yes.
It's
so it's a whole new process. It is. Which I love. Like I said, like I love that people are able, because I didn't share the book with many people at all. Mm-hmm. I shared it with my best friend and I shared it with my father and my manager, and those are the only few people that read it through this whole process. And so now in the last few weeks, I have finally been
other friends
sharing
are reading it.
Yeah, all my other friends and my team. And I think I was just scared to be influenced by everyone's opinions
Smart.
While it was not finished.
Smart.
And so it's been great getting feedback and hearing them, just hearing like what everyone is taking away from it. Because I think everyone kind of knows me in different parts of my life and not maybe all of it. And it was amazing that some of them still felt like there was so much that they learned in the story. Mm-hmm. And for some people that don't know me at all, that were very inspired by this story. And yeah, it's just, it's real, right? Like when you have a book and I just finished the audio version
Which
of the book.
Which takes like 3 days. And
3 days.
It's exhausting.
Wow. Wow. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be doing a book
it's
for
really
a long while.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but I was really happy that I did it.
Yeah.
I think it adds another element of, you know, a fan can really see how those words made you feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, like, expressing that.
You're going to inspire a lot of people with the book, as
Thank
you do
you.
In your competition and the way you carry yourself. So
Thank
congrats
you.
On this.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited to see what's next. And
so am I.
It's going to be an amazing ride.
I am as well.
Yeah. Thanks so much for
Thank
coming
you.
Appreciate it. All right. If you enjoyed this one, please let me know and let Maria know your favorite part of this interview and what you enjoyed about it the most. Shoot her a message and tag me and her at Lewis Howes and at Maria Sharapova over on Twitter, over on your Instagram story, and let her know that you're listening and let her know what you thought about the interview and your favorite part. The link for this is lewishowes.com/535. And you can watch the full video interview there. Check out all the show notes. Make sure to get a copy of Maria's book as well. All the links for that are back at lewishowes.com/535. And as always, make sure to take a screenshot and post it on Instagram story. Let me know. I like to have as many conversations there with you as possible. I try to reply to as many people on the Instagram stories as possible. So let me know that you're listening, and I'll make sure to reply if I can. And as Thomas Edison said, if we did the things we are capable of, we would astound ourselves. You are so capable of creating more than you've ever even imagined. You have all the tools within you to become resourceful, to master skills, to optimize your mind, your health, your opportunities. You just have to be willing to take the next step. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.